You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Big win for Arkansas last night. They beat Oklahoma 83-79 over at Norman. You know, you think about Oklahoma and LSU, who they beat in a very similar manner last week. These are two last-place teams in the SEC, the two last-place teams in the SEC. They both have got one win apiece. But what I was thinking, Ethan, as this game kind of wrapped up yesterday, and they'd come back and they had won another close one, was, and I say this all the time in every sport, it's about, you know, like how you remember a team, maybe bad versus average or average versus good, good versus great, is how they perform in these close games. And when Arkansas was, what was their record in the SEC? 1-6 last year, I think, before they went to Kentucky. At this point last year, they were 2-5 in what I would call close games. And how do you define close games? I just went ahead and said games that were decided by less than 10 points. Yeah, they were 2-5. They'd beaten Michigan and Miami, both away from home. Miami was a true road game. And then they had losses to Baylor, Ole Miss, Florida, LSU, and Oklahoma. Ironically, the last two who they've beaten in the last week. And then this year in single-digit games, so nine or less, they're 7-3. Plus, they had that win over Tennessee that was really a close game, and Arkansas just kind of pulled away at the end and won. They're doing this on the road this year. That's two times now that they've won a game by less than 10 points on the road. They beat Ole Miss a couple of weeks back. They had a neutral site win like that against Texas Tech. You know, I know they've lost to some teams, Houston and Duke and Michigan State, some good teams. But I think that, you know, that's really the big difference that I see between this team and last year is the fact that home or road, they're able to finish some of these close games. They're 7-3 in those type of games this year, whereas last year they were 2-5 at this point in the season. Now, they got a little bit better toward the end of last season. They finished with a 9-10 record in those type of games. But I just think that that, to me, when you're looking at trying to project and forecast where a team is going to go, that's one thing that I really look at right now and think that, you know, they've got a good chance to, you know, again, be in the conference title race, maybe make a run in March because they have shown the ability more often than not to win these close games.
And you know what the difference is? I think that this time around, they have a guy that, you know, the ball needs to be in his hands at the end of the game. I mean, last year, whenever they were going through the losing streak and they couldn't close those close games, I mean, who did you trust at that point? Like, who did you want the ball in their hands? I think that's the difference this year. Is you even go back to the Louisville game, kind of that was the game, at least this year, that I felt like Arkansas just really needed to kind of like steady some things after losing some close ones to Duke and Michigan State where they couldn't close it late. That was the game that John Calipari was finding, like, you know what, ball in Acuff's hands, we'll run some pick and roll, let him be the one who determines how this goes. I think that that was a real growing game for Arkansas because you've seen it again. Anytime things have gotten close this year, you think to the Ole Miss game whenever literally it was just clear out, let Acuff kind of do his thing. I think that's the difference this year. They have a player that whenever things get close at the end, you know whose hand it should be in. I think last year the team, once they started doing better in some close games, it was honestly – If you watch those, it was kind of like survival mode a lot of their close games because it was like big leads that they had. Mm-hmm. They blew and then they just held on at the end and things got dicey. They made just enough plays. But that team's identity was just so different from this team's identity. And I think that this year it's just you have a freshman that doesn't play like a freshman and he's your point guard. So you trust him to make the right decisions. Last night he did it. I mean, the and one that he got with like 21 seconds or whatever left was just like a – it was just a player making a play.
And he started scoring at the end, which that and he had some points, but like up until that point, his, you know, his real contribution to the game had been finding guys right near the basket, you know, the dribble drive in Oklahoma, they would kind of I guess over defend one side that would leave somebody open on the other. And but it was interesting to me how in the last 65-70 seconds of the game, it was, okay, I got to take over. I got to be the one that makes the plays here, you know, and makes the baskets.
Yeah, I mean, Darius Acuff, another game where 9 assists, 0 turnovers. He was making the right decision over and over. Arkansas didn't have a turnover in the final 11 minutes of the game, which on the road, that's just like, that's one thing you can point to and say that made a big difference. He just is so good, I feel like, at picking and choosing his spots. There's a few times I think back to like first half of the Vanderbilt game, he tried to dunk early against the trees. I think yesterday maybe he got swatted once driving. Like, there's a few rare occasions where maybe he's a little overzealous taking it in there. But for the most part, I'm like, this guy has like a 90% success rate of knowing when he can just drive and get a bucket. And when he doesn't get the bucket, he's distributing it, getting others involved. He's just so, I feel like, meticulous with knowing when he has a crease to go score. He's a great downhill driver, and I think that sets up everything else that he does. He's just a really good player.
Somebody made a point on our message board, and I forget who it was, or I'd give him credit for this, but they said, you know, Arkansas is in this they're in a pattern right now where they seem to be playing all these teams after gut-wrenching losses. And, you know, how do you find gut-wrenching? I don't know. You know, Kentucky lost by 25, and they're coming in here on Saturday, so that's going to be another team that I'm sure is going to be hungry to prove itself. But, you know, they're playing these teams, and in a lot of cases, they're playing them on their home court, whether it be Georgia or Auburn, or you think about Auburn, they had lost to A&M a couple, 3 days before Arkansas came down there. We know how OU lost to Missouri last weekend, but they're playing them in a lot of cases on their home court, and like they're getting their best effort right out of the gate. And against Auburn, Arkansas never matched it. Against Georgia, they matched it in the second half, and I think they just ran out of gas. And Georgia was the better team that day. And then last night against OU, again, you know, they're down 13 points, and you're saying, boy, is this going to be the same thing that we've seen the last couple of times they played on the road? And to Arkansas's credit, I thought they weathered the storm not just once, but a couple of times. You know, OU, they got it big. Arkansas came back. Then OU gets up big again, and then Arkansas makes a game at halftime. I felt like at halftime, Arkansas was going to win the game. But I will tell you, when Nigel Pack hit that probably about 28, 30-foot three-pointer from the top of the key, you're wondering, is it OU's night to finally, you know, get this right?
I think Dame Bradshaw said he shot that from Edmond.
He might have. Yeah. Yeah, it was close.
Yeah, maybe more.
Yeah. But it was a long way away. Yeah. And but the fact that they were able to – and I know OU's not as good as Georgia or Auburn. And I think that part is pretty evident. But the fact that they were able to at least maybe learn from what had happened in past road games, I thought that was maybe a key last night.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, I also thought John Calipari well, first I'll backtrack. I thought right out of halftime, whenever they got that set play, like right off the bat, and Carter Knox hits a three. I mean, I already kind of felt at halftime they were going to make the plays to win. I wrote something on our message board about, like, listen, I'd credit OU. They made some tough shots. I don't think they make that many tough shots. But Arkansas also played much better defensively. And whenever they start the second half and Carter knocks down that three, it was one of those I somehow trusted that this wouldn't go the same way that the others did, but it did get dicey late. I thought that a key point in the second half was, listen, OU had like one foul called against it like 8 minutes into the second half. I think Arkansas only had three, so it's not like they were really blowing a lot of whistles. But, I mean, they just weren't calling much. And John Calipari was like teetering with a technical. It was like I couldn't tell. I was like, is he wanting one right now, or is he wanting to just get his message across? And it seemed like that moment kind of lit a fire under at least like, you know, it's one thing to look at your coach and see that he's bringing the passion and he wants this really bad. And it just kind of felt like it woke things up to me. That moment, it's not like it was a boring, sleepy game or anything. There was a lot of scoring, but that was the moment that I like just felt like it kind of woke up for the team, at least defensively. They started just really playing well. They held Oklahoma to 9 made field goals in the second half. That was a drastic difference from the first half when I think they had maybe like, I guess they made 29 in the game, so 20 in the first half.
Porter Moser got so Calipari got a warning, and then Porter Moser ended up getting one 20 seconds later.
Yeah,
I don't know if Moser was just trying to like, was he trying to match the intensity, or were they mad about maybe similar things that were going on with officiating? I don't know, but they certainly did let him play quite a bit last night. I thought the difference in the game was going to be, for the longest time, was going to be the fact that Oklahoma was just shooting so daggum well from three-point range, and Arkansas couldn't buy one. Arkansas was 2-for-17 from three. Oklahoma, they finished 10-for-27, which doesn't look that great, but I think at one point they were like 9-for-20, and Arkansas's defense clamped down, you know, toward the end. And maybe OU's shot selection got a little poor too, I don't know. But what I was really impressed by with Arkansas was the fact that even though they were missing all those threes, that they had the presence of mind at some point, and maybe this was, you know, maybe Calipari put the fear of God into him in a timeout, I don't know. But they had the presence of the mind to put the ball on the floor and just go to the hoop. I have not seen a team as bad at defending the rim in a game this year as Oklahoma was. Maybe South Carolina. South Carolina, it was pretty bad too. But
second half, maybe Vandy on maybe dunks.
Maybe this is saying maybe this is saying something about Arkansas, yeah, and what they're able to do inside. Maybe and you know, and Mosier talked about this afterward last night. He said they are elite at getting downhill and getting to the rim and really making you have to make split second decisions about, you know, what are you going to do? And if you go here, you leave this guy open. And if you go here, you know, maybe they have a straight line to the basket. And but credit Arkansas for knowing that the three-point shot was not falling and that they were having a lot of success at getting to the basket. And that, you know, even if Oklahoma's hitting all these threes, you know, if you can make however many more twos than they make threes, you got a pretty good chance at winning the game.
Yeah, well, and my thing, too, is it is all predicated based on the fact that Arkansas this season has shot the three ball really well. So it's not like, oh, you could really, like, I guess maybe you make that adjustment in game as far as, like, you give up a few looks from three because Arkansas is not hitting, but you're playing with fire. You're playing against a team that has percentage-wise this year, I think, been at or near the top of the SEC pretty steadily. I think that Arkansas, because they can shoot the ball from the outside, it really opens up those driving lanes. And Darius Acuff, I mean, he's the one who is really the engine that makes it go whenever he gets in the lane. That's whenever a team is screwed against Darius Acuff. If he gets that far deep in there, he just makes the right decision so many times. Arkansas, yeah, they were cold yesterday from three, but I liked a lot of the looks. There were a few of them in the second half that I thought were a little bit of settle, but I mean they took a lot of open threes, and I'm like, if y'all just shoot how you have this year, this game isn't even close. But they did make those adjustments, and it seemed like they stopped settling. And John Calipari said it all year. He said yeah, I want us to be able to shoot the three, like that's what we can do, but that's not our identity. We're a team that drives the ball and we get to the rim, and that's what they did.
Yeah, they've been pretty good at it. I think they scored 56 in the paint last night. They scored 66 in the paint against South Carolina.
And Lamont Paris said, he's like, I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know that I expected that from this team, to be honest with you. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. What did you think about the flagrant foul against Carter Knox? I thought it was horrible.
That was awful. I mean, it was one of those where it's in today's era.
It was a letter of the law foul.
Where you go to the monitor, that's where it really confuses me. Like, how did they go to the monitor and see that and be like, oh, that was excessive? It was a clear going after. I mean, he, right after he got done, goes to help the guy up. It wasn't like malicious intent. And I get it. You got to do the call by like what the rule is, if you're like head and neck area or whatever. It did not look like he even did that, was the thing. Like, I get it if it's by rule a flagrant, but maybe there's an angle that we didn't see where you see something else, but at least based on the TV broadcast, it was a pretty awful call.
Yeah, they had the monitor in crimson and cream colored, I think, and that's why they called it. I thought it was a horrible foul, and because he's going after the ball. It's this age-old basketball. You pump, you kind of fake the guy. Defender gets up in the air. You jump up, try to make a shot, and he comes down. He fouls you hard. If he slaps the guy in the face without ever going after the ball, okay, I'll grant you that. He swipes at the basketball, and as part of the motion to swipe at the basketball, did he catch the guy's face? I don't know. I never really saw that he did or he didn't. Yeah. But I just thought that was a horrible foul.
Yeah.
And it really could have changed the tone of the game. It gave OU two free – now, they were going to get two free throws anyway, but it gave them two free throws in possession. They made the free throws, and then they threw the basketball into their bench. And so it really didn't end up hurting Arkansas. But that's one of those that, you know, especially in a close game, I feel like you got to really be – I think you got to be conservative in adjudicating that play.
Yeah, and I think that – it was one of those situations where my question always is, like, what do you want the defender to do instead? What should Carter Knox have done there? He was in the air. I mean, the guy did a good arum, got him up, and that's what you're taught. And Carter Knox comes down and he tries to make a play on the basketball. Mm-hmm.
And he has that right as a defender to not let the guy go up undefended and try to get a 3-point play.
Yeah. And so it was one of those situations where I just felt like there's not really a good, solution for what you think the defender should do instead there. Carter Knox, it looked like, just was trying to make a play on the ball and was trying to not surrender, a complete just layup. So, yeah, bad call, I thought.
Yeah, and credit to Arkansas for coming back. I think Thomas might have gone straight at the rim and gotten a shot right after, gave Arkansas the lead again. And they didn't let it bother them the way that it certainly could have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they responded well from that. But it was one of those calls that it kind of – I think Arkansas fans will will say this, that they've seen too many games where something like that happens, and it feels like it throws off the trajectory of everything, and Arkansas didn't let it do that.
Yeah, that was one of the two calls I think that have bothered me the most this year, was that one, and then DJ Wagner getting tossed in the Winthrop game for sticking his toe out in the water, trying to get Isaiah Seely back on the bench.
Yeah, that one... And that was a by, like, that's my thing. I'm like, that's a, I guess, a by rule at that point. Like, it's a stupid rule, but hey, we're at least calling this by the rule. With Carter Knox, I'm like, how did this go against the rule? What in the rule did he break? But anyway.
You know, Oklahoma, Norman, is the closest city to Fayetteville now in the SEC, about 245, 250 miles away, campus to campus. And, you know, when OU's come over here in the past, especially when they've had good teams, I remember when Blake Griffin and that team came over, and they've had some others, you'll see a lot of OU people in the crowd, totally unrelated. When the Burlsworth Trophy, when Baker Mayfield won it both times, there were a ton of OU people that made their way over here. Maybe they lived in Arkansas. Maybe they just came over, and it was, you know, a way to see him, pretty close by. But it felt like there were, and I wasn't there, but it felt like there was a lot of Arkansas fans in the arena last night. And I wonder if that's what you're going to see when Arkansas goes over to Norman in the future.
Yeah, especially if OU has a team that's like this. That's the thing. Like,
do you know they had free attendance last night?
Yeah, they had a weird, like, not only free attendance, they were like giving away, like.
Well, they, from what I read, they had free attendance, so like anybody could come, and they're having some of the same issues I think there that we're having here in terms of winter weather. You know, roads may not be great off of the main highways, but they had free attendance for anybody who wanted to come. And it's like about 11,000 seat arena. They had 8,000 something who came to the game. They had free pizza for the students, and they had $2 beer and popcorn.
Yeah, they were basically begging people to come. And John Calipari on his pregame radio, Calipari loves a humble brag. And he was saying this thing about, I don't think he was exclusively talking about OU, but he was like, yeah, everybody saw what we did last on Saturday with having people transfer tickets, and now everybody's doing it because they saw how well it worked, blah, blah, blah. But it was a humble brag about how good of a job that they did with getting people in the doors. But yeah, no, Oklahoma, here's the thing, they're in last place of the SEC. It's not a bad basketball team. I just don't think it is. It's just one that's not had good fortune in a good conference so far. Like, I think that, like, you look at the standings, and I think that they're a better team than South Carolina, which they actually lost to them, so maybe I need to, you know, take that one back. Mm-hmm. But I think that by the end of the year, they'll be a better team than South Carolina, Mississippi State. Like, they're not good in SEC standards, if that makes sense, as far as, like, they're not going to be contending at the top. But it's not a bad team.
You keep knocking on the door the way they're doing, they're going to break that thing down eventually. I mean, this is several games this year, Alabama, Missouri, Arkansas, where they've got the lead in the last minute, and they just can't hold it.
Yeah, and we've watched Nebraska ball this year, haven't we?
Nebraska ball.
They lost to Nebraska ball 105-99.
I'm not saying it right. It's Nebraska ball.
Nebraska ball?
Nebraska ball.
Did I call it Nebraska ball?
Nebraska ball. Yeah.
Nebraska ball. They lost to Nebraska ball 105-99. Like, they were in there with a good team from another conference.
That game was played like in, well, it played like up in North Dakota or something. It was in weird spot.
Let's see where this was. This was in, yeah, Sioux Falls. What a strange setting for a non-conference basketball game between those teams. But yeah, they're a team that's what I'm saying, like, they're gonna knock off somebody. I feel like this year I could say this probably about every SEC team, that I feel like they're gonna knock off somebody that is a big win for them. I mean, whenever you check the net rankings today and it's a quad one win for Arkansas against a team that's 1-7 in the league, that just goes to speak of the quality of the league.
Well, Kyle Perry said, and I actually had this thought watching the game last night too, that he told Porter Moser basically, hang in there, you are us this time last year. Mm-hmm. You know, you're right there, and you're you know, that's potentially going to turn for you. And he even said last night, he said, I'm glad we're not playing those guys again. Because it does seem like OU, especially with the way those guards can shoot, there's going to be, like you said, there's going to be a game where they're going to get somebody. And maybe they get on a roll, and they can make a little bit of a push at the postseason. I don't think they've got a very good postseason resume. Well, certainly don't with a 1-7 SEC. But I don't even think their non-conference resume was really postseason worthy either. So I don't know that they're going to make a run at the tournament. But doesn't mean that they can't ruin some teams' days and maybe make them sweat a little bit more come Selection Sunday.
And I have more faith in LSU to do this. But as far as Arkansas's last two opponents, they both feel to me like teams that could start stringing together a few wins. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, are they a bubble team? Kind of similar to what Arkansas did last year. I'm not expecting anybody to do what Arkansas did last year because of how just improbable it was. But I could see one of those teams just starting to really figure it out. And this is the thing. We pause and we look at the standings when we're 8 games in and you got, you know, 10 more to go. And it's easy to hit the panic button. A lot of times it's for right reason that fans are hitting it. Like last year, nobody would have thought Arkansas did what it did. But it does go to show, like, this will look a lot different. Give it a few weeks. Teams that are near the top right now will start to fall. Like, I know we'll talk more about Kentucky later this week. That's a team that I'm very curious to see how they go, because they had such a similar game to Arkansas yesterday. They played on the road at a drivable game for fans, and they, like, Memorial Gym was pretty blue. Arkansas had a lot of fans at OU. It did not go their way. It did not go good at all for them. I mean, I watched a lot of that game. It was just ugly.
Think about Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Their two trips to Nashville this year. That's where they lost to Gonzaga by 35.
They better hope the SEC tournament goes a little better.
If you were betting, I think maybe bet against Kentucky to win the SEC tournament this year.
Yeah. Two bad trips to Nashville. But they that's a team that I look at and I'm like, you know, how are they going to respond? They've shown some resilience this year with, you know, coming back to their start to SEC and coming back on the road against LSU, Tennessee. But is that a team that can stay where they are near the top of the SEC? There's a few teams in there. Like, I could see Georgia rising even more than they are. I think that's a pretty good team. It's just like these standings right now, it's the end of January. Things will look a lot different a month from now.
A&M's number one in the SEC.
Yeah.
That is a surprise.
It doesn't feel like something that can last me, but it is some. I do think it's a credit to what they're building there. I mean, I have full faith in the system. It's just I don't think that they've hit really the meat of their schedule yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're kind of seeing that right now, that they've taken – give them credit. They've taken care of business against teams that they needed to. But I that's a team that I'm like, how will they fare whenever things get a little bit more tough?
Mm-hmm.
So and also credit TJ Cleveland's on staff there. Former Arkansas player and coach, so it's cool to see them having success.
A&M goes to Georgia on Saturday, by the way. We're in that point of the season, and Arkansas is going to go through this next week where teams get a midweek day off. So they'll just go Saturday to Saturday. After Arkansas plays Kentucky, they're not going to play again until the next Saturday when they go down to Mississippi State. The games tonight are Texas at Auburn, Mississippi State at LSU, Tennessee at Georgia. That could be a pretty good one. And Florida goes to South Carolina. When you look at the SEC standings right now, mention this, Arkansas a half game behind first place A&M in the SEC. Arkansas a half game up on Florida. The Gators play tonight. They could tie the Razorbacks. Then you got Vanderbilt and Kentucky at 5-3, and then nobody else has more than 4 wins. Everything's right there for Arkansas to be challenging for the SEC title at the end of the year. This weekend when Kentucky comes to town, that's going to be a big test for them, because you know Kentucky, they're going to want to bounce back and you know play well compared to how they played against Vanderbilt. Basically, you know, they were embarrassed, and how do they respond from that? Now it's tough for them because it's two straight road trips, and the back half of two straight road trips I feel like is always tough on a team. And they're going to be walking into a hornet's nest at Bud Walton Arena, where Arkansas has played so good this year. But on the flip side, yeah, Arkansas, you've been good at home, but there's a lot on the line here. I don't know how many players Kentucky has back from last season. I know they got some, but you know they were embarrassed on their home court by Arkansas, and you know that their fans are telling them how much this game means to them, just like Arkansas knows how much it means to its coaching staff.
Yeah, and for Arkansas, it's kind of in the back of your mind of like how ironic would it be if kind of like similar to last year where one team, Kentucky has an SEC record that's obviously much better than Arkansas's was last year, mm-hmm. but it feels similar to me of like you go into this game, you just kind of feel like Arkansas should win, but that's where you can get got.
And
that's
it's similar in that the underdog in this game, which I suspect Kentucky's going to be the underdog in the game, it feels like they have really played well beneath their expectations.
Yeah, I mean, this is a roster that I forget the it was like north of 20 million was at least the reported.
22 million is the report that's out there.
And here's my thing. Arkansas, what they need to do to Kentucky is what they did against Tennessee, where they came out and they just said, we are going to be so – we're coming to battle and compete and fight on all the toughness stuff. Vanderbilt, well, I forget which player, and Mark Byington after their game last night say something along the lines of like something they noticed about Kentucky in film and stuff. They thought they could really out-physical them, and that was their weakness, was physicality. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you're Arkansas, you can't go into this game thinking that you can just show up and you know, they're going to lay over you. I think you've got to take it to them and act like it is a Tennessee, that you already go into that knowing that you better fight for every loose ball and the rebounds. I think you got to take it to Kentucky with the mentality that this is a team that's going to come in super hungry and they're going to want to come and compete, and you try and out physical them. You try and set the tone by being the stronger, tougher team right away. And I think Arkansas has the horses. I mean, Kentucky's had injury problems all year, but talent for talent, position by position, I feel way better about Arkansas at a lot of those. I think Arkansas just has to set the tone with physicality, though.
We'll talk more about Arkansas-Kentucky later this week on Friday. We'll preview that game. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club, and we'll have Joe Klein, the Razorback grade, who actually was on the call when they played LSU last week here in Fayetteville. We'll get his thoughts on this year's team. Hope to see you then or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day.